Well, let us just take a big moment just to pray for our campuses. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that our great church, Lord, that we are one family, Lord, even though we're meeting in three different locations. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for St. Albans, Lord, and for all that you're doing there, Lord, as the main base there. Father, we just thank you, Lord, as you continue to build your church, Lord, encourage your people, Lord, and lift them up, Father, to grow them, Father. Lord, for here and biggest rest, Lord, even though this is really new, Father. But Lord, we know this is of your purpose, Lord. And so, Father, we just thank you for this campus. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for what's being established. Lord, this year we're looking for a year of great increase, Lord. We're looking for growth, Lord. We're looking for salvations, Lord. Many wonderful things to happen this year, Lord. And for Tagum, Lord, and the Philippines, we thank you for the good news, the good reports, Lord. And Lord, exciting to see so many young people at their prayer meeting, Lord. And all of the things that are happening there at Tagum, Lord. We're just so excited about all that you're doing there. Lord, we just pray that you continue to bless and multiply that work there, Father, in Jesus' name. And Father, we just thank you for our whole Grow Church family and pray, Lord, that we continue to grow and be blessed of you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, this afternoon, we'll get there eventually. I just want to show another clip. I know there's quite a few clips today, but this really summarizes the heart of the church, really what we're on about as a church. And so, for those that are fairly new, to Grow Church, this will really encapsulate things for you, for the rest of us, that reminds us of really what we're on about as a church. And so let's just take a moment to have a look at this, and then I'll share some thoughts on it. Church. I want to share a few thoughts with us this afternoon. Just when you got in, you got one of those when you came in. Some of you would have got them from this morning, but you would have got one of these cards as you came in. Last week we gave out the cards with the theme for the year, but we really want to look at really as our purpose as a church. It says Grow Church, and you've got it on the banner there, you've got it there. A purpose growing in God, relationships, outreach, and working together. And so obviously we want to see people grow, we grow church.
And if you flip over to the other side, if you have a look at the other side, you'll see there we've got steps there, growing in God, relationships, outreach, and working together. And as you'll see there, it is a process. So first of all, we want people growing in God, and growing in God certainly through our own endeavor, our own prayer life, our own reading the Word. But coming to church is a really important part of growing in God. And so that's what we really encourage. Each one of these steps, there's a program or something aligned with each step. This area of relationships. And so growth groups is so important in the life of the church. We build a relationship with God, but also one another. And so we want people coming to church, but people then progressing and going into growth groups together. Very important step along the way. Outreach, heart to heart. The Lord has commanded every one of us to go into all the world and to preach the gospel, to share the good news of Jesus Christ, and just making disciples. And so heart-to-heart programs are an important part of it, so that we're actively engaged in sharing our faith, and finally working together, that we're actively involved in serving. And just to remind ourselves, though, we think, oh, well, I go to church, and I'm in growth group, and I'm reaching out, and I'm serving people, I've made it. Well, none of us have made it. We're constantly growing in God. We'll always grow. We'll certainly continue to grow more in God in each of these areas of our lives. And so just give you that and have a look at that and be aware of it. But what I really want to share about this afternoon is a little phrase that you'll see quite a few places. It says down the bottom there, be everything God made you to be. The bio, it says, be everything God made you to be. And really, as Grow Church, obviously our name says we want to grow. We're about growing. We're growing in God and the things of God. Yes, we're growing in numbers, which means people are getting saved. We want to grow in that way. But we want to talk about this phrase about being everything that God made you to be. Because if anyone was to say to you, well, what Grow Church on it's about? Well, it's about growing, but it's about being everything God made us to be. Everything. To be everything God made us to be. That's what Grow Church is about. It's a little catchphrase that we have, and really it's the heart of really what we're on about. And so what I want to talk about, what does it mean to be everything that God made me to be, or made you to be, to be everything? And everything's always that all-encompassing word. So you know, just don't, I'm 98% of what God made me, or 95%, or 70-60%, but everything that God made us to be. And so if we're going to be everything that God made us to be, made you to be, it begs the question, well, why does he made me to be? If I'm going to be all of that, well, what am I supposed to be? And that really is really what if the church, if you thought of the church was a factory and we're not, what are we making? Yeah, well, we're making disciples, but what does that disciple look like? What does it mean to be everything God has made you to be? What we're on about, what are we producing here? And so, basically, it comes up as two things. What has God made you to be? The first thing is he's made you to be mature. Now, mature does not mean being old. You're all going to be old. We're all going to get old. Like it or not, you're going to get old one day. And if you're feeling a little bit old now, well, congratulations, you're going to get older. We're all going to get older. We all get older all the time. When we're talking about maturity, I'm not talking about age. We're talking about spiritually mature. And so part of what God has made us to be is to be spiritually mature. And so we want people to grow in God in the area of their spiritual maturity. And so that's one part of being everything God made us to be, to become spiritually mature. And then we'll talk about, well, what does that mean? What does it mean to be spiritually mature? Because people think, well, I've been a Christian for a long time, I must be spiritually mature. That's not always the case. I've met people that have been Christians for many, 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 many years. We came on after Noah was a little boy, and yet, which is a bit impossible, isn't it? But have not grown in God and are not mature, still childish in their ways and their attitudes and their behaviours. So it's not about age, but it's about growing to be spiritually mature. And second thing is about being everything God made you to be, is to fulfil God's purpose for your life. Think, well, if God wants us, God's going to do everything God's made me to be, and it's two things. One is to be spiritually mature, and one is to fulfil God's purpose for my life. Well, I want to know what that is so that I can fulfill that, I can have that answered, I can be everything that God wanted me to be. So there's two things that we're going to look at. We're probably going to have time to look at one of those things this week. And next week, you can look at the other side of that, looking at purpose. And trust you've got this, you can follow those slides as you go through as well. And that'll help you. We'll have those that are doing the sermon summary next week for the pro group as well. But what does it mean to be mature? And scripture actually talks about growing into maturity. Have a look at Ephesians 4:15, that's on the screen there. And it says, we will grow to become in every respect, the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. We will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. And notice that there's we there, it's we. So it's actually collectively what we're talking about in this particular passage of scripture. This is about us together as a body, and together we will grow to become in every respect. And so anybody who tries to fool him and says, oh no, I'm really going on well with God and I'm growing in God, but they never go to church and they're not involved in a small group and they're not relating in any way like that, don't let them kid you even as they've managed to kid themselves. They may have been able to fool themselves, but don't let them fool you. They're not really growing in God. Those things are important. The Word of God and prayer, we'll talk about those later, fundamental things, but it's we will grow. Never neglect the we. There's always the we growing as the body together. And that's why the first thing in this process, the very first thing is, well, to go to church. Some people struggle getting that one right. It's a basic thing. We will grow together. And again, in Ephesians 4:13, a couple of verses earlier, it says, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Just let those words sink in for a minute. Till we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Wow. And so maturity, spiritual maturity, is really about being Christ-like. It's about being Christ-like in our attitudes, Christ-like in our behavior. It's modeling and living like Christ. And really, that's just someone who's spiritually mature, not someone that can recite every book of the Bible but never live any of them. It's not to do with just knowledge. It's to do with having a Christ-likeness about us, Christ-like in our attitude, in our thoughts, and our attitude and our behavior. That's what maturity is. And some people have been Christians for 10, 15, 20 years, and they're little children. And, we want to grow and mature. You know, there's something when there's a little child, a little two-year-old comes up to you and wants some food, you know, can you get something from the cupboard? Well, then you help the little one, and you give them their picky or whatever else. But if someone's 17 or they're 30 or whatever, and they're there, you know, there's an age where you have to get the food for yourself, you have to grow up, you have to learn and to have a maturity about yourself. And so, but again, there's that we word there again. So in community together as the body of Christ, as a church family, we can grow. But also there is the sense for us individually. And in Colossians 1:28 it says, he is the one we proclaim. Obviously that's Jesus. Admonishing. Now this is the Apostle Paul, and he wrestled, this is the intensity, the strength of these words, a struggle, something he's laboring intensely over. He is one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. Again, everyone, so no exceptions, everyone, everyone in Christ. But it really comes down to us personally, individually here. And that's certainly what Paul devoted his life to, is to get proclaiming the gospel that people come into the kingdom of God, that they would know Christ as the Lord and Savior, but also that the people would have Christ fully formed within them, to present them fully mature in Christ. And that's what we're on about at Grow Church. That's our heart. We want to present people mature in Christ. And so that's something that we're on about, being spiritually mature. And so to grow in God and to be everything that we want, God has made us to be, the first thing is in this area of being spiritually mature, that we grow in such a way. But what actually does it look like then to be mature? So you might have a picture in your own mind, I'm going to picture a mature Christian. And so you might have someone that's 97 years of age and, you know, they were saved 100 years ago, and which means I'm not very good at maths. Been saved a long time and they've been there forever. But still that doesn't necessarily mean that they're mature. Because I've met older people that have been around for a long time and sadly they're immature in different aspects of our lives. And by the way, we're talking about being spiritually mature. No one can ever say that they're spiritually mature, that they make that. We're all on a journey. It's a journey. This is a pathway. We're all growing to maturity. And you never stop growing. Every day of your life, you need to be growing every day. And none of us can look and say, oh, look, I've made it. Paul said, not that I've already attained to all of this, but I'm pressing on to the goal, forgetting what is behind, and I'm straining on to the goal of heavenward I have in Christ Jesus. And so we're all on a journey. This is a process for everyone. And people are at different stages along their Christian walk. And so we can never put someone down because they're a little bit further down the track. But what we can do is we can put a hand out there and we can actually lift them up and then help them along the journey. Because maybe we learned something along the way. Not that we know everything, but maybe we know enough to extend their hand and help pick them up and bring them along on the journey along the way. But what does it mean to do to be mature? If I'm spiritually mature, well, really, ultimately, maturity is to do with your character. It's the kind of person that we are. And you know, people say different definitions of character. Character is who you are in the dark or when there's nobody else looking or whatever else. But really, if we're going to be mature, we need to have good character. Obviously, Christ had perfect character. He was Christ. What I mean, Christ-like, he was Christ. So he was our model. He was our example. And so to be mature is to be a person of integrity. A person of integrity is someone that is honest, that is transparent, that is true to their word, that doesn't do things that they should know that they shouldn't do, that is true to the course, the things that they've said, they keep their vows, they keep their promises. A person of integrity. And integrity is an important part of character. And character is a fundamental cornerstone of maturity, is having that character. And so integrity, being a person of integrity, you say what you're going to say, and you do what you say, and you follow things through, you're a person of integrity. You're honest, no secrets, no hiding, not playing any games. You are who you are, and you're an integrity, honest person. And so that's an important part of character. Another part is faithfulness. To be faithful in our relationships, to be faithful in our commitments, and if we say we're going to do something, we do it. If I'm on a roster and I'm there and I'll follow through, I do that. If I can't for whatever reason, I get someone else because I'm faithful. I do what I say I'm going to do and I follow things through to be faithful and to give 100%, to give the best, not a token effort, no window dressing, no just doing the minimum to get by. If you're faithful, you give 100% all of the time. That's what it is to be faithful. And that's a character issue and it's a part of maturity. Another part of maturity is this whole issue of resilience, which means not giving up. And I get dismayed sometimes. I'll be honest with you as a pastor that some people that fall so easily. You know, how they lack resilience when things go wrong, when things come against them, when things come around, how they cave so quickly. Like they're just, you know, made of paper, not made of steel. And I despair of that when I see that. People don't have resilience. They just want to give up. It's too hard, can't be bothered, so I give up. And if we don't have resilience, that's the ability to keep on going. It's to grit our teeth, to put our head down and to push through. Even though I don't necessarily understand what's going on, I can't necessarily explain it, but I know God's in control, and I know God's on my side, I know that He's with me, and so I'm going to keep going, and I'm not going to give up. And having resilience is a part of character, that you stick it through, and you push through whatever's happening, and it's an important part of that. But so far I've come across Christians that have been Christian for a long time, and something will come, and something becomes like this massive thing that just about destroys them. And I think, Lord, just strengthen. The scripture says if you're slack in your time of distress, how weak is your strength. And so we want to be people that are resilient, to grow in that. Because life is going to throw stuff at you. And you say, yeah, well, it already has. Yeah, well, it has. And many of you have been through a lot of things. Some of you are going through things now. The world is going to have other things that we have to stand and be resilient on and to not to give in. And to hold on, and that's a part of character, holding on to the Lord, to be resilient. And that's part of maturity. And you see maturity in someone and their ability to hang in there when things are tough, when things aren't going the way that they think they should or the way they want them to, but they hang in there. That's a sign of maturity, it's resilience. The other is that the whole area of compassion, and certainly Jesus was the model of compassion, and to be a compassionate person, because if we really love God, that there's if we really have a heart for God, we're going to love others. If you love God, you're going to love your family. If you love God, you're going to have a heart for your workmates. You're going to have a heart for your brothers and sisters in Christ, for sure. And you'll have a compassion on those that need compassion. And that's a part of maturity. And as I said today, that having such a heart of compassion means that even when it's not convenient, and even when you're in suffering yourself, see, sometimes we can say, look, I'm going through a really hard time at the moment, or a lot of pain, or there's this or that, or whatever, and we use that excuse not to have compassion for someone else, not to care for someone else, not to reach out for someone else. But here we have solid character. Jesus reached out on the road to the cross. You know, he knew what he was going to. He knew the suffering, the agony of the cross. He'd seen enough people crucified to know what crucifixion was. And he also had a sense of what, you know, the devil was trying to get him, all these things that were coming up against him, yet he still stopped on the way. And a lot of Jesus' miracles and healings are him on the way to suffer and to a death that he knew was a horrendous death that should be on the cross. Picture of having a heart of compassion is a sign of maturity. So when people are self-absorbed and their own problems seem to be the paramount, most important thing in life, and, oh, you don't know what I'm going through, it's easy for you to say, you don't know what's happening to me. When someone has that kind of a mindset, that there's an immaturity there. Where we are mature, yes, we acknowledge what we're going through. God is with us, he helps us, but that is never an excuse to have a heart for other people. And I always find is that if I'm actually going through a really tough time, the more that I sow into other people, actually, the stronger I am in the process of doing that. Somehow in God's economy, it works that way. And also, part of maturity is a graciousness, that someone that is mature in the things of God, is there's an ability to forgive. But we don't hold things against one another. You don't hold things against people. You forgive and you're gracious to people, even when they don't deserve it. Because I tell you what, if they deserved it, it wasn't grace. If you're gracious to people, they don't deserve it. They don't deserve even your forgiveness. They don't deserve you letting it go. They don't deserve you covering it over. The scripture says love covers an old and just letting it go. They don't deserve it. That's what gracious is. A gracious person loves and just continues and just lets it go. I've had many things said and done, and sometimes I've just been flawed, actually. But I've said, no, Lord, I just commit this to you. And if you always have the heart for people, that, you know, why did they do that? Why did they say that? Well, you never know what's happened to them. They may just have terrible news might happen to them. Something's affecting them. And if you're gracious, you'll overlook that. Rather than coming down and condemning them for what they're doing or saying or whatever, saying, hang on, maybe there's something under that. And my grace, his grace is sufficient for me. And because of that, I can be gracious in the circumstance. And so having that heart of grace is important. Mature people are gracious. They're not judgmental people. They don't condemn people. They don't look for flaws in people. They don't look for things to pick. There's such a grace. Part of maturity is a humility as well, and obviously Christ is the epitome of humility. And people that aren't humble are usually insecure. People that are looking for the spotlight and want attention, there's an underlying immaturity there. There's something missing. There's something insecurity that's inside them. But the Lord wants us to be humble. It's part of our character that we are humble. And finally, obedient, to be obedient to what God says of us. And as I said, look, we're great at making excuses. You know, kids are fantastic at making excuses for why they didn't do the homework. Like, a very, very creative. But, you know, when we think kids are cute, they're all the wonderful things, and I could read you a whole list of excuses that kids have made, which is very cute. But we make excuses ourselves. We're really good at making excuses rather than why we didn't do what we knew God wanted us to do. But a mature person obeys. And an example of tithing, that's not an issue. You do that. I'm a mature person, and so I do that. It's an automatic thing. It's being obedient. It's not something we struggle with, you know. I think to pray about everything. If God's asked us to do it, then we do it. We're obedient. And we listen to God and hear his voice and are quick to obey. That's a part of maturity. And really, that's what our character about being Christ-like. And these things can tell us that it really depends upon us. Now, in a moment, I'll just say a couple more comments. We're just about running out of time, and so we'll do the second half of this next time. But it really is our responsibility. Sometimes we blame everyone else. You know, people are very good at blaming. They make excuses why that person isn't good enough, or why this happened, or I I didn't do that because of what they did to me, because I'm a victim. And we're really good at blaming. But our spiritual maturity and becoming like Christ really depends upon us. We can't blame anyone else. And that song that you heard there, it said, life is short, I'm going to live it well. I want to live it well. You've only got one life. And when you get to the end of your life, you can look back at your life and be a victim and blame everyone for everything else that happened and say, well, I didn't do, wasn't everything God made me to be because of them, because of him, because it's not because of anyone, it was because of us. And what we want to do is get to the end of our life and be able to look back and say, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that I'm, you know, that I've grown and I've stayed on that journey. I'll probably never be 100%, but I've come a long, long way. Maybe I'm 90%, maybe I'm 80%, but I'm not the 10% that I was, the 5%. I've grown in God and our character and being, it depends upon us. We can't blame anyone else. You know, we can, you know, as I said this morning, people pray, Lord, make me patient. Lord, I want to be patient. But the Lord just says to you, just be patient. Hang in there. Lord, help me to be not so hot-tempered. Well, you are hot-tempered because you've chosen to be that way. No. I'm from a cultural background where everyone gets no excuses. We can't make that excuse. If we say, Lord, take away my anger, the Lord will just tell us. He says, okay, just don't be angry. And we make a choice. You make a choice whether you're angry. You make a choice. We make choices all of the time. And we say, oh, Lord, help me not to make those choices. And the Lord says, no, you don't make the choices. He gives us the freedom of choice, and there's certain choices we've got to make. And our character really is the summation of the choices that we make. The person that you are is based on the choices that you make. And a mature Christian is one who makes godly choices and puts God first and allows Christ to work in their life. So if I want to be everything that God made me to be, part of that, there's two parts. One is maturity and one is fulfilling the purpose. So part of maturity, we're saying the heart of maturity really is our character. How do I build my character then? How do I form that? How is character built? And character is built through relationships. Really important. Sometimes we're in relationships that are not perfect relationships. And maybe because the person isn't what you want them to be. The reality is it's probably because we're not what we're supposed to be. But you're working with people, maybe in the workplace. You've got a boss who seems to be a maniac, or you've got a neighbor that seems to drive you nuts, or a family member, or whatever the circumstance is, it's through a relationship. That's where character is going to be built. And as you go through those circumstances, that's where Christ is actually formed in us. It's through relationship really important. Why it's in grow groups is really important. You may have someone there that rubs you up the wrong way. Praise God for that. Scripture talks about, iron sharpening iron. And we grow, character is formed through relationships, also for loving and caring relationships as well. True service is, Brother Noel was encouraging us. Because if you're involved in service, you're going to have someone who's not going to be happy with what you've done. Maybe someone won't even acknowledge what you've done. You think, I did all that, no one even said anything. You know, I didn't get any credit for that. What's your character like? What's your character like? Because through service, that's where your character really is. Gave an example of, you know, you made someone a cup of coffee or something and they go, oh, this coffee tastes terrible. And you can be all precious and dissolve into a pile of tears and run out, you know. Or else you have some character and say, oh, sorry, I'll make you another one or whatever. But you'll grow. You'll grow for that. You'll grow for service. Someone will step on your toes at some time. People will let you down. They do. But what's your character like? Another way we build our character is through opposition and adversity, going through tough and difficult times. And we all go through those. And if you haven't gone through them, you will, because that's life. And if you're alive, you go through that stuff. But that's where your character is going to be formed. It's when things aren't going the way that you want, when things are tough, and you feel like you're just hanging in there, your character is actually being molded in that. And when I'm going through a tough time, my first prayer is, Lord, what is the work that you want to do in me? How are you molding me? How are you forming Christ? What is that rough edge you want to knock off me? What is that attitude that you want to deal with? What is that thickness in my soul that you want to remove? Lord, what are you doing in me? Because for us, usually the focus is let's change the circumstance, when the reality is it's Christ. Lord wants something to come out of our life. He wants Christ to be formed in us. And the other ways are applying God's word. And there's no shortcut to that. If you don't know God's word, you're not going to apply it. And And so getting into God's Word is really important. Hearing the Word preached is really important. Teaching is important. But our own study is really, really important. And your ability to stand will depend on how strong the foundation of the Word of God is in your life. Some people never read their Bible. They just go to church every now and again and they hear a bit of scripture and then they wonder why they fall in a heap and struggle when hard time comes. Because they never built the foundation of God's Word. But as we read the Word of God, yeah, we can hear the Word of God, we study the Word of God and apply the Word of God. Because a lot of people, the Word goes in and can come right out the other ear. If we apply it to myself and the Word of God, then I step on that foundation and I build up. And I get a strong foundation. So when the earthquake comes, when the seas rise, and when everything comes against me, I'm not going to be moved because I've got that foundation on my life. So, and again, getting the Word of God and applying it, I develop character. I learned that I'm always going to be forgiving because I understand that Christ forgave me. He said, forgive as I've given you. And so that, I put that foundation. Well, I'm going to be a forgiving person because Christ forgave me. He said, forgive as I forgave you. He said, if you don't forgive others, then I'm not going to forgive you. And whoa, I better get that one sorted out right at the very beginning and I'll keep building. So applying the Word of God is important. And obviously the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is within us. When we're born again, we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit within us, and we're later filled and baptized in the Holy Spirit, we're clothed with power and light. But the Holy Spirit, with that indwelling of the Holy Spirit, He is working within us. He is the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. And He is working within us to bring forth the character of Christ, to bring forth the fruits of the Spirit. But we have to cooperate with Him, you know, because you can pray until you bloom in your face to be patient. But unless you set yourself and say, Lord, I know I have to be patient, Lord. And I say, Lord, I'm going to choose to be patient when things end up. And then you find the Lord just kicks in. You find the Holy Spirit helps you. But you've got to choose. You've got to determine. You've got to align your will. And once you make that, that's when the Lord comes in and gives you an ability to do that. But for some people, they just say, praying and say, God, do it. And Lord, fix this, fix that, fix me. And the Lord says, oh, I've already been to the cross. I've already given you the Holy Spirit. Now there's some certain things you need to knuckle down and do. And as you start doing those things, you'll find that your growing character is formed in us. But that's really what we're on about as a church. We're not here for entertainment. We're not here to play games. We're here to grow in Christ and to see Christ formed in our hearts, to be everything that God made us to be, that we will be mature and have our character strongly formed in Christ. That's what we're on about. That's our heart. And also that we're going to fulfill every purpose that God has, which we'll talk about. So stay tuned, and we'll talk about that next time. Let's just pray. Father, I just thank you, Lord, that you've called every one of us. And Lord, we're here, Lord, in growth church, Lord, because we want to grow. And Lord, we want to become, to be everything that you made us to be. Every one of us, Lord. Even as your word says, you made it clear, everyone, Lord, to be everything. And so, Father, we just thank you, Lord. It's because of the cross that we can even begin on the journey. We thank you, Lord, by the power of your Spirit, we can walk the journey. But, Lord, we make the choices every day. And, Father, help us to make choices every day, Lord, that we will grow in you, Father. Lord, I pray, Lord, that have that character be formed in each of us. Lord, as we're on that journey, Lord, that every day, Lord, we are growing. Lord, let us grow from glory to glory. Father, let that be upon every one of our hearts. So, Father, just thank you for each one. Thank you, Lord, that, Lord, you've caused us to be mature and want us to grow in that, but also, Lord, for the purposes that you have for us, that they will be fulfilled. So, Father, I just commit each and every one of us to you. We thank you, Lord, for your grace, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that your grace is sufficient for us. We thank you, Lord, that your life is in us. And we give you every praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.